This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد. My brothers and sisters, we are in the month of Muharram, which is a great and blessed month. It is the first month of the Hijri year and is one of the sacred months about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Inna iddata shuhuri inda Allahi thna ashara shahran fi kitabillahi yawma khalaqa samawati wal arda minha arba'atun hurum thalika ad-deenul qayyim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, verily, the number of months with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is 12 months in a year. So was it ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day when He created the heavens and the earth. Of them, four are sacred. That is the first, the seventh, the tenth, and the 12th months of the Islamic calendar. That is the right religion. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu said, the year is 12 months, of which four are sacred, three consecutive months, Dhul Qa'idah, Dhul Hijjah, and Al Muharram, and Rajab of Budar, which comes between Jumada and Sha'ban. And this is the hadith in Bukhari. Allama Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi narrates regarding this ayah. He explains in his tafsir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen elites. Allah is the one who creates, and Allah is the one who picks from what He creates and makes them elite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose elites from His creation. From among the angels, He chose messengers. From among mankind, He chose messengers. From among speech, He chose remembrance of Himself, dhikr. From among spaces on the earth, He chose the masajid, the mosques. From among the months, He chose Ramadan and the sacred months. So venerate that which has been chosen by Allah, because people of understanding and wisdom respect that which has been chosen by Him. And this is in Tafsir Ibn Kathir. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to learn from this beautiful deen of ours and to learn from it and to learn it and to benefit from it. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated in a hadith which is recorded in Sahih Muslim. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah ﷺ said the best fast after Ramadan is in the month of Muharram. And this is in Muslim. Rasulullah ﷺ encouraged fasting during the month of Muharram, particularly on the 10th day called Ashura, as a means of seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and forgiveness. In Fiqh Sunnah, Shaykh Sayyid Sabiq rahmatullah alayhi states, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported, I asked Rasulullah ﷺ which prayer is the best after the fard prayers. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayer during the middle of the night, which is tahajjud. I asked which fasting is the best after Ramadan. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the month of Allah that you call Muharram. And this is in Musnad Imam Ahmad, Sahih Muslim, and Sunan Abi Dawud. Rasulullah ﷺ said, fasting the day of Ashura has great merit. I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it as an expiation for sins committed in the previous year. And this is in Sahih Muslim. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, when Rasulullah ﷺ fasted on the day of Ashura and told the people to fast, they said, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, this is a day that is venerated by the Jews and the Christians. Rasulullah SAW said, next year, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, we will fast also on the 9th day. But by the time the following year came, Rasulullah ﷺ had passed away. And this is in Sahih Muslim. So let us fast on 9th and 10th. It is also mustahab to fast on 9th, 10th and 11th of Muharram. For those of you who wish to do that, alhamdulillah, may Allah grant us the ability to do more and more to try to earn His pleasure. Rasulullah ﷺ said in a hadith in Tabarani, one who generously spends on his family on the day of Ashura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be generous on him for the entire year. Regarding this, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi narrates that Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahmatullahi said, I have practiced this, which is spending on the family, for 50 or 60 years and have found nothing but good in it. And this is in Lataif al-Ma'arif. The day of Ashura was known to the Quraysh and to Rasulullah ﷺ in Makkah. And the Quraysh used to venerate it and fast on that day. It is believed that Nuh alayhi salam's ship reached land on Mount Judi. And Musa alayhi salam led his people out of the slavery of Firaun on the day of Ashura. The Quraysh venerated this day and considered it holy and used to change the cover, the kiswa of the Kaaba, on the 10th of Muharram and would fast and pray specially on that day. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasted that day with them during his life in Makkah. روى الشيخان عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت كانت قريش تصوم عاشورا في الجاهلية وكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصومه فلما هاجر إلى المدينة صامه وأمر بصيامه. It is narrated that Aisha صديقة رضي الله عنها said the Quraysh used to fast on Ashura during the Jahiliyyah, and Rasulullah ﷺ used to fast on that day also. When he migrated to Medina, he fasted this day and ordered that this fast be observed. When the month of Ramadan was enjoined, meaning fasting was made further in Ramadan, he said, whoever wishes may fast on this day and whoever wishes may leave it. And this is in Bukhari and Muslim, which means that after Ramadan was made fard, fasting on 10th of Ashura became nafil. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrated that the people of Jahiliyyah, meaning people in the period of Jahiliyyah, used to fast on the day of Ashura, and Rasulullah ﷺ and the Muslims fasted it before Ramadan was made obligatory, which means that they used to fast the day of Ashura while Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in Makkah. When the month of Ramadan was made obligatory, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ashura is one of the days of Allah, so whoever wishes may fast it and whoever wishes may omit it. Muharram serves as a time for self-assessment and repentance. It is a reminder for us to reflect on our deeds and seek forgiveness for our sins and strive to improve ourselves as individuals and as a community. Having said that, I remind myself and you that the time to change is as soon as we realize our mistakes and not wait for some auspicious day or month. We don't know when we will die, and so let us hasten and hurry to clean up our act and get our lives in order so that we can meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeking His mercy. The Battle of Karbala was fought on the 10th of October 680, which is 10th of Muharram 61 Hijri, between the army of the second Umayyad Khalifa Yazid I, Yazid bin Muawiyah, and a small army led by Sayyidina Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anhuma, the grandson of Rasulullah and the son of his daughter Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, and his cousin Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, at Karbala in Sawad, southern Iraq. During this battle, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu was martyred, was shaheed along with most of his relatives and companions, while his surviving family members were taken prisoner. There are 1,000 very valuable lessons to be learnt from this entire period of history, which in effect began with the Shahada of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu on the 7th of June 656, corresponding to 18th of Dhul Hijjah, 35 Hijri, that is 26 years before the Shahada of Sayyidina Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anhu. It is a period we studied dispassionately and objectively, and the lessons derived from it applied in our lives. The Shahada of Sayyidina Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anhu was one of the greatest tragedies in Islam, just like the Shahada of his brother Hassan ibn Ali radiallahu anhu, or his father Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and his uncle Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of them Jannatul Firdaus biduni hisab, without hisab, inshaAllah. We fast on Ashura to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who used to fast on this day in Makkah when the parents of Sayyidina Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anhu were still children and unmarried, and their blessed sons Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhu had not been born yet. We Muslims, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, consider the Shahada of Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anhuma and all the members of the family of Rasulullah to be the greatest tragedies in the history of Islam, where they were martyred not by disbelievers but by those who claimed to believe in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Yet this did not prevent them from murdering the family members of Rasulullah who he loved more than anyone else. But we remember what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about those who die in his path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتِ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Allah said, never say that those martyred in the cause of Allah are dead. In fact, they are alive, but you do not perceive it. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Allah said, never think of those martyred in the cause of Allah as dead. In fact, they are alive with their Rabb, well provided for. We mourn the loss of those who Rasulullah ﷺ loved and whose presence was a barakah for us all. But we don't say that they are dead, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared that they are alive. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for an ending like He gave them. As for the adab of mourning, etiquette of mourning, I remind myself and you that they are the same for everyone. We don't do in joy or grief anything that is prohibited in Islam. Islam means to submit in all situations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is our guide, and it is the best guide. Narrated Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, we went with Rasulullah to the blacksmith Abu Saif, and he was the husband of the wet nurse of Ibrahim, the son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah took Ibrahim radiallahu anhu and kissed him and smelled him, and later we entered Abu Saif's house, and at that time Ibrahim was taking his last breaths, and the eyes of Rasulullah ﷺ started shedding tears. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, even you are weeping. He said, Oh Ibn Auf, this is mercy. Then he wept more, and he said, the eyes are shedding tears and the heart is grieved, but we will not say except what pleases our Rabb. Oh Ibrahim, indeed we are grieved by your separation. And this is a hadith in Bukhari. I remind myself and you that the Shahada of Sayyidina Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anhu was a tragedy that cannot be measured. But a greater tragedy is the cycle of hatred and bloodshed that people created, which continues to this day. I can say with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as my witness that there is not a single Sunni Muslim man or woman, living or dead, who would not give his life and sacrifice his parents and family to save the life of Sayyidina Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anhuma or any member of his family. So what is the hatred about? Let it end here. Let us bring our hearts together on the kalima tayyiba, ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and speak and do only that which will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and be brothers to each other. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين.